You're watching Western Warrior with Henrik and Lana, exclusively for Red Ice members.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us for Western Warrior. Hope you're all doing well. Thank you for tuning in to Red Ice TV. I'm Henrik.
I'm Lana. Thanks for joining us.
A quick status update before we get on with the show here. Just want to let everyone know that is joining us over at redicemembers.com normally that we do have a little server issue. So we're actually putting this show up for free for everyone to enjoy, including our members, obviously, here. Today, we actually had a critical error in one of the servers late Friday evening, and the motherboard had to be replaced in one of the dedicated servers that we lease. So it is currently not up and running, but we're seeking to get that fixed as soon as possible. Talking to one of my guys a little bit later here today when we're recording this show. So hopefully it will be an issue resolved quickly and swiftly. So to everyone who is a member over at redicemembers.com, thank you so much for your patience. Thank you for understanding. We're going to try to get this resolved as soon as possible. We'll keep you guys updated in terms of the status and development. But anyway, on with the show. Before we get on to pressing and urgent important matters, I thought we could laugh a little bit at this. 3,000 Pride flags have unfortunately been burned up in Älvsjö in Sweden here over the weekend. Very sad news. I know. One of their factories in Älvsjö was apparently a little fire there at the facility. So 3,000 of them were burned. Not nearly enough. You know what I mean? So the one who's paying for this is RFSU, it's called in Swedish, which stands for the Swedish Association for Sexuality Education, founded in 1933. And of course, it's one of these anarchist, suffragette, you know,
some
feminist,
old pervert,
an old perv, right? Wicked Women. There you go. Yeah. Elise Ottesen Jensen, a Swedish-Norwegian sex educator, journalist and anarchist agitator. So if you want anyone to give thanks for partially, at least initially at this stage, for declining birth rates in Sweden, it's people like this. Now, whose ideas were communism? Like we can argue about that, right? Kind of thing. But you know, beyond
sex
Gramsci,
education just means no kids and the most degenerate sex possible.
Well, basically, God. I mean, they deny this. Obviously, if you search for that today, RFSU pedophilia. It's a far-right, conservative, anti-LGBTQ misinformation, issue that was brought up by them. But it's actually a lot of truth to it. A lot of the people, like in the U.S., they have NAMBLA or something like that. Like, it's very early on in the sex education, you have this, like, trying to normalize, getting it down into the ages in terms of, like, getting sexuality roped in with the children somehow. It's always something with these types of things, right? So, anyway, next time, maybe the whole goddamn thing will burn down.
I'm surprised they're not investigating it for arson.
I'm sure they are. A campaign in danger. Oh, the flags should have been used for the organization's latest campaign. Sexual Democrats. Oh, my gosh. This Pride, though, is coming. It's June 1st, actually. That's why, right? Hopefully it was burnt down. You know what I mean? Intentionally so. I mean,
yes.
Hopefully. We can wish. All right, so one of the bigger topics here we want to discuss today is the Remigration Summit of 2026. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Yes, we're going to go through it all with some criticism, some constructive criticism, some concerns, and of course also praise for some of the good aspects that have been done during this event. And of course, this was largely at the hands of the good people that we do know, like Dries van Langenhoff, who has been on the show before, Martin Sellner, who we kind of roundabout ways talked to here and there a little bit, and some of the people he's associated with, Afonso Gonçalves as well from Portugal, where this was hosted, by the way, in Porto, Portugal, pretty beautiful place. Afonso, I've been talking with on Twitter, a little bit on and off here and there. Also, at the head of this, you have Andrea Ballarotti, and there's some other people around this connected with the organization Action Radar Europe, which kind of helps to bring a lot of this together. Activists, influencers, intellectuals, kind of think tank people, journalists, and other politicians gathered in Porto this year to discuss the implementation and urgency of the mother of all solutions, remigration.
We'll be right back. managed to force the public to finally open their eyes on the existential threat, which is mass migration, and to its only fully peaceful solution available, which is immigration.
Did you guys see Jared Taylor in there? He was there as a VIP, according to Politico, at least. He didn't speak. I don't think he was part of one of the panels either, unfortunately, although he did speak last year there. He's, of course, the guy who should have been playing the saxophone, but I guess he's handing off the baton to some younger people in the crowd there. But anyway, some other guys there, too. Milan Mazurek, we've talked about him, a Slovakian politician. An MEP, he's of course been talking about remigration, doing some good speeches in the European Parliament, so it's good to see him there. We also had Lidvi, I think that's how I say her name, Lidvi de Vos, which is from the Netherlands FPV Forum for Democracy, which of course is Thierry Baudet's party. Well, he was part of helping to found it, I believe, back in the day. He was the head of it for a long time. He stepped down from that position. He still remains the party chairman. And continues to serve in the House of Representatives, but she has taken over, so some good political names here as well. Lena Kotre, the remigration policy spokesperson of the AfD, Alternative for Deutschland, out of Brandenburg, which is good to see. Of course, we had Maximilian Merkel there as well, which, as a reminder, is the guy that was held by the German authorities. We covered this in the last show. He couldn't fly out. He was prevented from boarding his airplane to go to Portugal, which I don't know. I don't even know how they can do that in terms of like the Schengen zone. But of course, it's the state, right? So they can do that. Absolutely ridiculous. He ended up driving there and he actually made it on time. So good for him. There was some other people too, like Sammy Woodhouse, who's one of the grooming gang survivors that were there. Also, Jean-Yves Le Gallou, who's been part of the previous remigration summits, as well as kind of a, titan within French nationalism, right? He's called a fascist and all these kinds of things, right? But intellectual also kind of helped to spearhead the issue of remigration within French and in the broader European context, the political sphere in Europe. Now, of course, one of the big surprises was Greg Bovino, who showed up, who's, of course, the now, unfortunately, former head of the Border Patrol. He's the one who were on the front lines in Minneapolis when all of the shit happened with two of the people there that were shot. And of course, some of the news sources have written about this, and they said that it was after a call with Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota, that Trump decided to demote Greg Bovino. Now he's more of an activist, and he went to the Remigration Summit to speak there about the shared deportation aspirations between the U.S. and Europe.
We all agree on that. This is the first topic that I can remember we've agreed on in my collective memory, and that is very important.
Well, I mean, I agree, and I hope that's true. It should be true that we should be agreeing on deporting all these migrants from our countries, obviously, between the U.S. And Europe. But there's some historical context there, which we're not going to get into now. But I'm glad to see Greg Bovino there on location and helping to kind of bolster the event and bring some attention to it, of course, because this is very, very important. Here's another clip where he's talking about it, because he dropped this thing of like deporting 100 million illegals out of the U.S., and people are like, how do you come up with this number?
Remigration, or is he falling short of that? They have the Office of Remigration. They talk about it on social media. But are the policies, is that actually remigration in the way you understand it?
Sure. And over the past year, that remigration did actually occur with your definition of remigration. And there's still 100 million illegal aliens in the United States. They've got a long way to go. So I think they need to pick that pace up there in the United States very rapidly so that they can achieve that goal.
And that figure of 100 million is a lot bigger than most other people would say. Where's the disparity between your figure and what other research institutes would say?
Sure, most other research institutes have had that same figure for 40 or 50 years now. In the 1970s, it was 12 to 20 million. 2006, 20 million was about as high as you could get. But we didn't see that occurring both on the border and in the interior of the United States. I think it's woefully short. A lot of those, say Pew Research, for instance, I think they're very politically driven, and you're not getting an accurate number.
One last question, sorry. You were a bit dismissive of Mark Wayne Mullen in an interview with Vox Europa this week. You called him, I think, a good plumber. Do you think there needs to be change within the administration in the U.S. to properly implement mass deportation?
I think we're going to have to. There's going to have to be changes there to implement true mass deportations, because there's tens of millions that need to go, and we need to do that now.
And why isn't Trump doing that?
And I think Trump does a fantastic job. I will always say that President Trump's the best I've ever worked for. He's the one president that we've ever had, at least in the past 75 years, that is actually willing to do that. So he needs a little bit better advice. And Mullen's a great guy, great plumber, no doubt about that. He can probably fix a leaky faucet, but 100 million illegal aliens is not a leaky faucet.
You need back?
Okay, so far, so good. And then we had the influencer panel here. Now, of course, there's some great people here. Lucy White was there. I don't know too much about her, but she's currently part of Restore Britain. She was doing some posts about, obviously, the remigration event here as well. There's Jared, Uncle Jared, right there with Lucy. So that's encouraging, because I think Jared is probably the most kind of hard-lined individual there. And of course, I know a lot of people in our sphere that criticizes Jared for not going far enough with certain things, obviously. But at least the political pieces that I saw about this, they were first to list that Jared Taylor, who hosts all these white supremacists at his American Renaissance events, he was there mingling with these politicians from the AFD and Vox and some of these other parties, right? So this is a... It's a good opportunity, I guess, for cross-pollinations between some that are a little bit more radical, and again, not radical enough for some people, obviously, and some who's still kind of in the mainstream world, and we'll return to that too. But one of these people that I do have an issue with is someone like Joey Manarino, because there was an outreach here to try to get some of the kind of MAGA Americans on board here, and there's some comments by some of the other people as well, which is concerning. And I'm not saying that everyone has to be on our page continuously on all these issues. I'm actually very I'm a very tolerant fellow. I'm very lenient, and I'm saying maybe there'd been opportunity for these people to change their minds or whatever, but there's certain comments that have been made where you kind of like, what is this about, and why are how are these people fitting into a remigration kind of agenda? Joey Manarino, of course, has a famous, now infamously post back from 2024, late 2024, where he said, if you're a black guy and want a European wife, just go to Poland. I assume he's talking about black Americans. Maybe he's talking about sub-Saharan blacks too. I don't know. Every Polish girl I know is completely enamored by black men. And notice he's capitalizing black men there too, by the way. You'll have three or four women before you even leave the airport. Never seen a phenomenon quite like it. Now, of course, what you could say, if you're meant to make this comment in such a way, is, of course, to focus on how heavy the propaganda in Poland have been. We've covered a lot of this, the ad agencies and how they're seeking to push race mixing as something which is virtuous and cool and hip. That's what they've been doing in Poland. No, instead, it's almost like this casting blame on Polish women. I need a retraction and an apology from Joey Manarino on a comment like this, and a clarification of what the hell he means by something like this. Now, Lon, of course, I don't expect these guys to research every past tweet of these people. I mean, we've had things like that, too, in the past, where we brought someone on, we thought they said some good comments, and then they have some retardant comments that we learned afterwards that they had, kind of thing, right? But I just, the outreach to the MAGA sphere, because it's kind of in decline, is something that I don't know if that's the strongest point at this point.
It doesn't
and
help.
Why a guy like Joey, who seems like
a grifter. He feels like a grifter. And also this post that he made about Polish girls is just simply not true. I know a lot of Poles, and I know a lot of Poles that were commenting on that, saying this is tabloid trash, some leftist started stereotype that people in, you know, people in Poland always mock when they see these things. They're like trying to amplify this message, but it's not real. right? So then why push that? Even if, I don't even know, is this a tongue-in-cheek kind of ha-ha-ha comment, but is telling black guys to go to Poland? I mean, how is race mixing going to save the European race? And by the way, a lot of people are like, they can't tell what he is. Is he even European? Maybe he needs to be remigrated too, someone said. If I saw him on the street, I think I'd want to remigrate that guy as well.
Is everyone hiding from this guy, or is he in the men's room? They're making fun of Joey.
He's a MAGA grifter sphere type of guy. What is this? Just because he's got a following, then we invite? Is there no standards? A lot of people have followings, and they're not our people, and they're not good people. What is publicity more important?
I would assume that it's someone like Joey and some of the other people that came with him, or the American entourage, like the guy from the Young Republicans out of New York. We'll talk about that in a moment too. It's possible that those are the guys that did have access to Bovino, and it's possible that there's some type of, okay, you invite us too, or we gotta come with. I don't know. These are speculations. But, however, having said that, I see a lot of critique about Joey and some of the other people at the Remigration Summit event, and I think it's better to kind of address that head on as opposed to kind of letting it fester.
Yeah.
And so, why is he there? Well, we don't know, basically. But his wife, too. That's kind of interesting. There's Uncle Jared right there for you down there. We love to see Jared at these events, too.
Yeah, we love Jared.
We love Jared. His wife, right, because Joey runs News Force. It's another thing he has in his bio on his Twitter. News Force. And, of course, his wife, who's Spanish, Ada Lutch, I think you pronounce it. She was recently in Argentina, by the way, and she's talking about Milei's fantastic, rollback and rebuilding and things like that. And of course, we have concerns about Javier Milei because he's been so hardcore Zionist, right?
Oh,
so,
yes.
So now you're kind of getting into the world where it becomes adjacent, or it dips into a world where some people are not that comfortable.
Zionism, right? Namely.
Zionism.
Yes. That's the elephant in the room, yes.
This piece here, we don't have to watch, most of it, but she's talking in Spanish about the situation in Argentina, economic, the reshuffling that's happening economically, and they're praising, basically, Argentina's President Milei in this piece, and they're talking, I think, with the economy minister here in the piece as well, this guy right there. But, it comes in reply to a tweet like this, and people are like, kind of, what's going on here?
I suppose she didn't have her cross on. Isn't she a good Catholic girl?
Do we have to do this? I mean, I know it's like social media and influencer campaigns, but it just feels so, like, it just turns
e-girl.
Vapid,
it's e-girl. Like, it's,
look,
that's
now,
what that
now
is.
Now I'm two, three, almost four steps away here, right? I'm not trying to say because she is showing cleavage, then that this is, what are you doing, Remigration Summit? But I'm just painting, I'm trying to paint a picture of the people that are kind of around this and adjacent to this as well. To just, again, question, because I'm genuinely concerned. I support Dries, I support Selner, I support Afonso, I support Maximilian, all these other guys, right? I think they do fantastic work. We really respect them. We respect their initiative and the way that they're driving this. So therefore, I'm also concerned with it being diluted or watered down to becoming something which I don't think is productive for them, neither for us or for anyone who's concerned with remigration, for that matter. Here's Joey Manarino. Three American men spoke at the ReSum 26 event in Portugal yesterday, and all of those three men were Italian-American men. There's some to be said for that. The Italian blood means we're not taking shit from anyone. You want to ruin our country with your third world bullshit? Fuck around, find out, he says here. Remigration will come to America, and the Italian Americans will lead the way in removing those who need to go. So the other guy he's talking about here, too, is Stefano Forte, which is from the New York Young Republicans. An American voice on a European stage, despite also oceans between us, the roots are the same. More and more people are realizing that the struggle for the future of Western civilization is shared of on both sides of the Atlantic. And I'm kind of, it's good to see some of that too, you know,
of course,
kind of thing, right?
Yeah, like white unity, basically.
Sure, yes. That's fine. It's not a problem too. But then there's some questions about the young Republicans, and of course, a lot of, right now there's kind of a, it has been for some time, obviously, but there's a pivot away from kind of like the MAGA type of sphere, because they have been they've let a lot of people down, and despite the fact that you saw some good things in terms of initial symbolic gestures when it comes to remigration, a lot of this have fallen short, unfortunately, and we wish that it would not, but that's just the reality of it, right? So he took over, by the way, Stefano took over after Gavin Wax, and we'll talk about him in a moment, but he gives him a little shout out and a nod here when he took over the New York Young Republicans Club. Check this out.
I'm Stefano Forte, and I am honored to serve as the 77th president of the New York Young Republican Club. I want to recognize my predecessor and mentor, Chairman Gavin Wax. Gavin and I first met in 2020 at a protest to save the statue of President Teddy Roosevelt outside the Museum of Natural History. What began as a political stand became a lasting friendship. Under Gavin's leadership, alongside Nathan Berger, Vish Burra, Alex Zeke, and our veteran board, the club rose from its lowest point and became a powerhouse, shaping New York City's politics and the America First movement.
Okay, so Gavin Wax was, of course, one of the leakers of the internal Young Republicans chats back in the day. Mm. We're making jokes and calling, you know, Hitler-based and all these fun things or whatever, right? So the release of the chat was part of a highly coordinated year-long character assassination led by Gavin Wax and the New York City Young Republican Club, an allusion to a once obscure internecine war that has now spilled into the open. Again, the proximity to Trump here as well, right, kind of thing, which, of course, lots of the MAGA now have basically turned into a vapid Mar-a-Lago face social media campaign influencer sphere where it's mostly about, I don't know, Israel first or something. I don't know. Gavin Wax, again, is Jewish. So here he has given a shout-out to him when it was this big internal drama in the Young Republicans where Gavin Wax heading up and leading this, right? So yeah. That's
a big one.
That's not a good look, you know, first of all. Here's the other guy that showed up too, Lorenzo Cacchialaupi. Sorry if I mispronounced that, but he showed up on stage there too during the influencer panel, and I found one clip that I wanted to play for you. Now, I want to preface this before I play this. He's a younger guy. He's very fresh, I would assume, into this. But he's getting an interesting amount of exposure. He has almost 500,000 followers on Instagram. And for some reason, he's kind of picked up by a lot of these people. So let me play this clip and let's see what you think.
I'm Lorenzo.
Good evening. I'm Daryl Corian, U.S. Army veteran, and I work on the Foreigners Council for the AFD.
This gentleman got called a shitty nigger simply because he works for AFD. And I'm not surprised. It is well known that Antifa are a violent organization that hates anyone who dares to have a different idea from them. So, Darrell, tell us, why do you support remigration and what do you think about the current situation in Europe?
I support remigration because I believe that people have a right to feel safe in their country, and I believe that Europeans have a right to preserve their culture. When I say culture, I mean their language, their history, their values, traditions. And unfortunately, not every migrant that comes here respects that and wishes to integrate or assimilate, which is why I support deporting illegals, criminals, and those who no longer have a reason for asylum here. As someone who has lived here for 10 years, noticed the current changes that's happening in Germany and throughout Europe as well. As my time as a soldier, I've spent traveling around Europe, and a lot of places now, it's unrecognizable. This is the reason why I'm in the AFD and why I hope that I can help make a change. There are some people here who wish to impose their religion that goes against our values.
Okay, so why? How is this guy with the AFD, first of all? And notice that he didn't say preserve your race. He said your language and your culture and your traditions.
And our values. Some black guy is going to be speaking for Germans and Europeans? No, thank you. When we mean remigrate, we mean you too, buddy.
Look, it's...
Jeez, we don't want assimilation. That's what it's sounding here. Let's just deport the bad ones. It's kind of like Trump, right? First it was, let's deport all the illegals. Now it's like, oh, let's just deport the bad ones that are actually breaking the laws and not assimilating and, you know, not upholding our values. It's like, no, every single one of them needs to go back.
Look, Lorenzo here, he has a lot of different videos. This was just one of the first ones I saw on his page. I was like, oh, okay, well, that's curious. Here he is with an American black guy who somehow he needs to kind of stand up for and defend or whatever, or because he's part of the how is he part of the AFD? Anyway, I got to do some research on this. What is that about? Like, Germany has had a problem with having, like, American troops on its soil forever. And, of course, this is an extension to that, obviously, right? Anyway, so it's just one little thing. But he's talking about how, I forget if he met Charlie Kirk or he was, he was inspired by his personal meeting with the U.S. influencer Charlie Kirk here. So again, he's 23, he's young, he's learning the ropes of these kinds of things, right? But there's one portion in here where I want to play. And again, it's more about illegals and criminals who doesn't want to integrate. And from my point of view then, that's not strong enough. You need something within this sphere to be significantly stronger. You don't want a dull edge of the spear as you're trying to slash through much of these problems that we've gone on and on and on about in European politics for such a long time. You need a sharp edge.
So it is important for us to send back all the illegals. It is important to send back all the people that did not integrate and did not assimilate into our society, because it's not possible that we allow these people to ruin our cities and to ruin our countries.
No, we don't want them to assimilate. I don't think that's what you need for a remigration summit. Again, he's young. Give him a little time. It's fine. This is a critique aimed towards hopefully helping to harden these people as opposed to shit on them. That's not the purpose either. I appreciate what they're doing, and it's fine. I don't need everyone to be exactly on our page at all times or whatever. But these are some of the concerns that I have, that I think that can't you also then bring on someone who has even a sharper edge?
Yes.
Have this guy, but then also have someone who really has a knife sharp edge to this as well.
Yes.
Who's like, we're done with it. We don't want them to assimilate.
Someone's a little more seasoned.
We don't want them to mix races with us. Like, this is not what we, you know, kind of want. And it's curious, you know, it's just small things you encounter when you search for people. He recently went on Rav Español, which apparently is Steve Bannon's real American voice in Spanish, which I didn't even know there was one, but there you go.
El cartel de la familia Michoacana, el cartel de los Unidos.
Italian YouTuber activist Lorenzo Cacciapulli reported on the growing climate of insecurity in Italy after recounting the case of a young Latin American woman who, as he claimed, would have been kidnapped and abused for several days by a group of illegal immigrants in Rome. And of course, Steve Bannon, right? We have a lot of issues with Steve Bannon.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people.
Buddies with Epstein, right? Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of, and again, this is, you know, separation, multiple degrees here, right? He's a young YouTuber. He just happened to be invited by this guy. I'm not saying that he's, but I'm trying to describe to you where some of the people attending the event, where they are also having their, where they're dipping their feet, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying this is just a concern I have when I see people who are talking with, they need to prove that they're not racists or something by bringing on a black guy. They're talking about how we want the migrants who are good ones, presumably. That's what I took from that, need to integrate and assimilate in our culture. Otherwise, they're not welcomed. Of course, we're more hardline than that. We don't want them to integrate and assimilate because we don't want them to marry our daughters. That's still ethnic replacement. That still means extinction at the end of the day, if that goes far enough. Here's one more video I play, which should show you the support, I guess, for Unite the Kingdom as well, with Tommy Robinson from Lorenzo here.
Keir Lair Starmer called them dangerous racists, and the left-wing media called them far-right extremists. Today, hundreds of thousands of patriots are marching through the streets of London. Men, women, children, elderly people, all united
to protect their country. There is no hate here, just love for their nations. When flying your own flag in your own capital is called hate speech, something has gone very wrong. I stand with the British people who want their country back. Keir Starmer must resign. Deus vult!
Look, I know he's young. He's only 23. He's just getting into it. And it's also a language barrier and all that. This is hard work, right? But 2026, we don't have to come out there anymore and explain, you know, why we're not far right or why we're not Nazis or how we don't hate. Like, just delete all that and let's just take our countries back, okay? Just no more excuses, no more explanations, no more having to pander to all these people who hate us and who don't understand, who never will understand, who never will get on board. It's about blazing the trail and just pushing through.
Another post that I saw from Lorenzo as well was regarding Dominik Trzezinski, who's we've kind of had an encounter with. Well, you have had an encounter with him, Lana.
Yes, I did.
He's a Polish MEP, right?
I've had a couple phone calls with him. He was going to come on my show.
Yeah, tell us the story there.
We were going to talk, and we were working it out. I was calling his cell phone like a couple times. We had a really good conversation, and he was like, yeah, okay, I'm supportive, and that's great. We align, and yeah, sure, I'll do it. And then came time, I booked the interview, and he was a no-show. And then it was soon after that where I saw there was a lot of just, you know, pro-Israel kind of commentary. So I think maybe he got the word or someone told him to not come talk to me. But it was, okay, fine, whatever. But then not even a message, not even like a can't do this or I don't agree with you on this or this isn't a good look or, you know, just nothing. Just completely ghosted me.
There's a way
even
you
as a Slav, when we were talking about our Slavic heritage and all that.
There's a way you can do that, which is basically like, hey, look, I'm in the political sphere. We genuinely disagree on some things, or I kind of agree with you, but you're going a little bit too hard or whatever kind of thing, right? It's not some expectation that Dominik or anyone else has to like come on and do our show or something. I mean, it's not even about us, but it's this issue when. This has happened a number of times.
And it's actually several people.
It's actually happened with some of the Resum guys as well, where there's a curious MIA all of a sudden. And I'm sending a couple of messages like, hey, look, if you're seeking to go a different path and it's just we're a little bit too spicy for you, that's totally fine. In fact, I respect that and that's totally cool. No worries. I won't hold it against you. But when I don't hear back from the guys, then I'm kind of like, okay, what's going on? Do I need to be concerned? Right? We need to be? What's happening here? Who are these people? On whose behalf are they working? Right?
It's happened with me too. They just ghost or just drop off. And I would say this was happening too with, you know, Generation Identity in the earlier days before this whole Resum thing happened, where it's like, okay, well, you could just send a message and just be, oh, it's too hard hitting or I can't or whatever. But now it's like, okay, it's 2026. Like these are the conversations. Like, I don't think what we talk about is extreme anymore.
So there's a tweet where Lorenzo brought to my attention once again, because we talked about it at the time, which, of course, is absolutely ridiculous, right? He was banned from the UK to go speak where at Tommy Robinson's Unite the Kingdom rally that we've talked about before. And, of course, same thing there. We've had our critique because Tommy Robinson is very, you know, fine with Sikhs and Indians in the country, and they'll be fine, you know, replacements for you, blah, blah, blah. It's just Islam that's a problem.
We need immigration for our aging population to keep up with pensions. If that's the reason, then bring in Sikhs, bring in Hindus, yeah? Bring in Filipinos, bring in people who will integrate, assimilate, and work.
And, of course, he's very pro-Israel. So this is underlying issue here, which we just fundamentally disagree with the approach and what is the purpose of these people, what's their agenda. Anyway, so Dominik was banned from the UK, ridiculous. He linked this up and reminded me of like, oh yeah, that's right, Dominik, right? And in fact, he showed up though at Tommy Robinson's rally remotely.
Dominik! Let's hear it for Dominik! Kia, did you forget about the internet? Dom, what have you got to say to the British audience here? They love you, mate. They love you.
How are you, far-right agitators? How are you? How does it feel to be a patriot? How does it feel to be together? Raise your voices, lions! raise your voices again. He can ban me, but he cannot stop you. He cannot ban you from voting. He cannot silence you. He cannot counsel you. And I am with you. I will always be with the British Lions. Always with the British women, with the British children, with the British families. I will never, never leave you. And I will help you to be safe, to create a big nation, safe nation, brave nation. I am with you, patriots, with your children. And when your grandchildren will ask you, Grandpa, how did you stop this madness?
All right. Okay. So no critique of what he's saying there. Obviously, that's you know. That's fine.
He says some great things. A lot of these people do until you mention one subject in particular.
Well, yeah, and sometimes they don't say such great things.
I'm really honored to be here and to discuss it. Why our alliance is important. We had this discussion with a minister how we have to build our alliance, talking about future to build the future. To secure our safety because of Islamization. What the Hamas leader said in a famous video, they says, we're going to kill Jews and then Christians. So what is our goal? What is the most important and why I am here as a Polish? Because if we're not going to cooperate, they're going to kill us. It's not about politics. And why our relations has been roller coaster for years? Because the left, mainly leftists in the media, they try to divide us.
Because the most powerful nations in the world have to go down to their knees. That's what happened to Egypt. That's what's going to happen to America. That's what's going to happen to Germany. That's what's going to happen to France. So it's going to happen to London. England's going to happen to Poland.
Amalek is seen as the eternal enemy of our people. Blotting out the memory of Amalek is a military command. Literally to destroy Amalek. That means coming off the bench in the fight against white supremacy. It means putting our reputations and our money and our physical bodies on the line. And nothing could more readily counter white supremacy than a Jewish community proudly helping our Muslim neighbors. There is nothing that undermines a white supremacist worldview more than diverse communities getting along and building together towards the future.
As goyim, they're gone. In modern terminology, they call it cultural genocide. There's a term for it by the progressives, and they talk use the word genocide. The goyim, as they exist as goyim, b'fnei atzmam, that's done with. Batul u'mevutul.
זה השם הכי נפוץ באנגליה, נכון? אז אנחנו רוצים שזה יהיה השם הכי נפוץ באנגליה, ושיהיה אמון מוחמד באנגליה, בשוודיה, בצרפת, לא פה, לא פה, זה מה שאנחנו...
6 billion idol worshippers who makes God angry every second of their life. And Christian, at least 6.5 billion people are idol worshippers that according to the Torah do not have the right to live. Idol worshipper goy, it's death penalty. Not only Jews. Even a goy who bow down to an idol, who believe in JC, deserve death penalty.
Last week, Hias organized a letter signed by over 1,200 rabbis. Can you imagine getting 1,200 rabbis to agree on one thing? But agree they did, and what they agreed was to ask our elected officials not to halt or even to limit the United States Refugee Admissions Program.
Mashiach viendra que quand Edom, l'Europe, la chrétienté sera totalement tombée. Donc je vous pose la question, c'est une bonne nouvelle que l'islam envahisse l'Europe? C'est une excellente nouvelle, ça annonce l'avenir de Mashiach.
I think the rise of the extreme right in many European countries is a response to the insecurity felt by the old Europeans, so-called old Europeans, regarding the new immigrants who came from the Middle East. So I think that fighting Islamophobia and anti-Semitism is an interest of both religions and both communities, and when we do it together, it's going to be much more useful.
Vous allez le payer très cher, les Européens. Mais à un point, vous n'avez même pas notion de quoi on parle. Et vous n'aurez pas où fuir. Parce que tout le mal que vous avez fait à Israël, vous le paierez au centuple. quand l'Italie disparaîtra, quand Edom, c'est pour ça que le QG de la chrétienté qui vient de Essav se trouve là-bas, quand cet endroit-là disparaîtra, et c'est ce que veut faire l'islam, il s'occupe. L'islam, c'est le balai d'Israël, sachez-le.
The clash between the secular post-Christian Europe and the new immigration wave, which is essentially religious, yes, this is what, exactly what is happening. There is a clash of civilizations. And we, the Jews, we are in the middle of this clash of civilizations. So this is the reaction of old Europe against this new wave of religious expression.
So essentially what you're saying is that in this boat you're together with both Muslims and people of other
denominations. And we see ourselves together, fighting together with our Muslim brothers who want a free Europe, who want a peaceful Europe, who want to integrate like our forefathers integrated in Western Europe 120 years ago, and they are our natural allies.
A small group of far-right advocates demonstrating in front of the presidential palace, demanding that Duda, this was last week, Duda signed the law. They had a banner. The banner said, "Take off your yarmulke, sign the bill."
They should be jailed. That's what I think. If I would have authority and power, I would jail them. Because I love you.
See, it's just a reminder then that he goes and talks to Tommy, but not to you, mm-hmm. with you, right? Mm-hmm. So what does Tommy say here about his event?
Yes.
Reminder.
Come to our event. Wait until you see the diversity of our crowd. You'll see many Sikhs, many Hindus, many Persians, many Jews, many blacks, many.
many. Is he like coked up and like, I'll just do this quick
Probably.
Video about how many nons are at my events?
So this
and
is
how
not,
that makes me better.
This is not like 4 years ago. This is recently. Again, so we're talking about the resummit migration now. I know we're kind of out here, but we're out on a limb here, right? Kind of thing.
Now this guy might be there next year. I don't know. The way Tommy's trajectory is and the way everything goes.
I don't know. I think it would more be, it's possible, I guess, to a certain extent. But of course, some people that, as you said, then have been at the Remigration Summit, like Eva Vlardingerbroek. She spoke at Tommy's events last year.
I think the next lady who's going to speak now, I've watched her speeches. I think she's probably single-handedly the best speaker and representative of putting her point across, I'd say, on the planet. Okay? She's unbelievable. She's amazing. She's beautiful. Who's next? Play the video.
So let me promise you, right here, right now, I will not stop fighting for them. I will not stop fighting for the truth, and I will not stop fighting for my people. The time of zero accountability will come to an end, and I will promise you, we will make Europe great again.
Eva Vlardingerbroek.
Britons, patriots.
Here's another one, just a couple of samples here, right? Of thank you, Eunice Rocks, for being part of our Unite the Kingdom and the West rally. And then I clicked in on his account here. Here's, what is he? Some Iranian, Iranian intel.
Not
warning
English.
About, warning
That's
about
what
the
that
IRCG.
Is.
That operate undercover as diplomats in Europe. A good example of this is Mohammed.
Okay. Anyway, so that's fine. We're off on a tangent. But I'm just saying that's many degrees separation here. But that's like the kind of guy that Tommy Robbins like. Worry about the IRGC or something like that. Britain has awakened. You know, Tommy Robbins today or yesterday, a post on this. And of course there's the Israeli flag. You know, kind of thing. There's the Iranian or the Persian kind of flag and things like this. And they're proudly touting how many blacks they have at their events and Hindus and Sikhs and. The Maori Hakka dancers and, you know, it's for me, it's this is just a big circus. And if you don't bring in the ethnos, it doesn't really do much for me.
No. And this crowd, this Tommy crowd and whoever, you know, his backers and people that have tentacles in there want to get their tentacles into this whole remigration camp as well. And it's they're starting to circle around there. I see that. Businessman Robert Shulman has reportedly donated $100,000 to fund his Unite the Kingdom march.
Unite them for a common cause. I'm backing the upcoming Unite the Kingdom rally because it stresses the importance of maintaining a country's culture. Successful immigration requires assimilation into the host country's culture, not forcing the culture to change to accommodate incompatible ideologies.
Well, Tommy said as much. He said, in fact, basically, if we don't address all the issues that the ethno-nationalists address, then the ethno-nationalists are going to address them for us.
They will lead the conversation.
That, right?
So he's admitting he needs to gatekeep it.
That's a red flag, a massive red flag.
So unless you actually have this conversation and actually address the general public's fears, you leave the only people talking about this as ethno-nationalists. And ethno-nationalists are growing in number, growing in confidence. And if they're the only people addressing this specific topic of a conversation, then you leave people to join them, listen to them, and be radicalized.
Because now it's not only about them standing in the way, it's about them actively cock-blocking a movement of actual remigration and solving the demographic issue. If we don't get this right, we will go extinct, right? And hence my concern. This might seem harsh or whatever, or some of the great boys over there at Re, some might be angry because we're talking about this, or, you know, they see this too harsh of a critique or something. But look, if you don't address these issues, this is my wheelhouse. If you don't address these things and talk openly about this, and if you don't have a willingness to rip out every single root of the issues that have gotten us to this point, then this is a danger, and it's a danger for all of us. The issue of ethnic pollution is a weed, and this weed has many roots. I'm not expecting everyone to go raving mad about Jews all the time. This is not what this critique is about. But that's obviously one of the roots of this weed, and it's a prominent one, and many people, I see this in the comments to the ReSum posts on Twitter. They're like, are you going to address the issue of Jewish involvement in immigration? Is this an issue, or are you staying away from that altogether? And so I'm saying it's probably better to address this now and address it in such a way that you put those concerns to the side. And if you don't, well, then here we are, and we have to voice our concern as well. And some of the people here that I'm seeing, I'm not very encouraged by this. And just going back here again to making this link then, because of course Eva Vlaardingerbroek is very prominent now within the Remigration Summit. She's obviously the face, the outward face of that movement, right? And she spoke at Tommy Robinson's event last year. And in fact, she was going to speak this year as well, but she was also, ridiculously so, part of one of the people that were banned from the UK by Keir Starmer. Absolutely ridiculous, right? You had Eva, Joey Manarino, by the way.
Oh my gosh.
Ada Lutch, Dominic Trzezinski, and then Eva. So what I'm saying is that many of the people here that were banned from the UK that were going to go to the UTK event did end up going to the Remigration Summit event, right? So I'm just saying, watch out here, okay? She's not banned from Instagram. She's not one of the most dangerous individuals like we got. We were perma-banned from like anything Meta-related, essentially.
That's amazing.
She has 1.2 million followers on Instagram, and that's fine. This is not some... Well, it's just because she's smarter with you in the rhetoric and she doesn't say certain things and therefore they can't technically ban her. But at the same time, in this day and age, it's just a curious side note that for some reason there's some people that are allowed and some people that are not. And I think that's a valid criticism to a certain extent. It's not some expectation that everyone should be banned. Anyway, to summarize all of these characters into one video then, here you have it. The Dutch travel maniac is in Rome together with Eva, Dominic, and Lorenzo here.
I'll be with you guys today in Rome. As you can see, I'm surrounded by three warriors, three of my fellow patriots fighting for Europe, fighting for our future. We all fight in different ways. We have Dominic in the institutions. We have Lorenzo trying to change the culture. We have Tom here who's exposing what is being done to our beautiful civilization. And I couldn't be happier to be united with them, standing shoulder to shoulder.
Good evening. We are here united in the heart of Roma, and we have a message for you. Do not be afraid to speak up, to express your ideas, because only united we can win. Only united we can succeed.
I see it day by day, week in, week out. Our cities, our beloved European cities, are totally being overflooded with illegal migrants. And we're denying it. Streets are getting more unsafe day by day. It's not safe for children anymore to walk alone. It's not safe to walk alone for women. And we have to stop this. We have to take examples to countries who do it another way. For example, Poland.
We've been having this conversation. What should we say? What video should we do? Okay, Eva and the rest of our crew is the example. You can be safe when you do understand your position. What are we talking about? It's not theory, law, but it's tradition, everything. So what we're fighting for is normality.
And there is a solution that we all stand by, that we all fight for to save our continent, and that is remigration.
So what do we need? Join us.
Join us.
It's not only about four of us. It's not about 10 of us. Join us. Be with us. No one will do it for us. We have to do it. You have to do it. Be with us.
In your own way. As you can see, there are many ways that you can do this fight, that you can fight for your country, for your children, and for our future. Join us in our movement, and we would love to see you.
Yeah, well, we have been, Eva, Dominic. We have been long before you were doing it, and for some reason, you just won't come on and talk to me, huh? It's always very telling. Lauren Southern was also that way, and look at how that turned out. So I just feel like, you know, this isn't one of those, oh, you're not coming on, oh, you're not talking with me, I'm hurt. It's a matter of sister to sister, brother to sister. Been in the fights, taken the hits, called the queen bee of white supremacy and banned and defamed in every which way possible in the last, you know, what, 10, 12 years, sticking my neck out there, fighting in behalf of our people, bringing awareness to white genocide on a bigger level, bringing people in from the conspiracy circles, bringing women in. Article after article, you can look, it's in the archives. Like, we have stood the test of time. Henrik doing this for 20 years, you know, helping pave the way. So why is it that people like us are untouchable to you into have a conversation about these things when we have the same interest in mind, which is fighting for European civilization, fighting for the future of our children, of our white children? How are we too extreme or untouchable? That is what I want to know. That is my question. And it is something that does bother me and doesn't sit right with me on a deeper level. This is not some ego crap, but there's something there that doesn't sit right.
Well, there's something to be said about the fact that these people just will not address certain issues. You've done two videos now, I think, about Eva's lack of willingness to call out even some responsible groups for the migration wave, for example. Again, I know the laws are different in the European Union, obviously, compared to the U.S., so they can't say everything they might want to say. But there's certain, you can say certain things with the right words in just such a way that you kind of just give a little nod of kind of, you know, we understand what this is about, right? But
yeah.
Remember, Eva had a past with Dennis Prager at PragerU. This is how she met Will Witt, which was part of the TPUSA. And I think they were engaged to be
for a
married.
Time, yes.
That, you know, didn't pan out, obviously.
Is it the Jews? Is it because we talk about the Jewish question and Jewish power? Now, I've had people say, they know these things. She knows these things. All right. Well, let's talk about it. Why can't we talk about it? A lot of people are talking about it now in the open. And if it's a matter of laws and things like that, exactly, as Henrik's saying, there's a roundabout way people can talk about things. There's a way that they can nod that they understand. Or you could just message. You could just message back and be like, you know, I can't, or I'm not comfortable, or I'm doing this. Or yeah. But nothing? Nothing? So then I have to question someone's sincerity and where their heart really lies and what's really going on.
I have more to say about that, but we'll return to that later. I just want to show this too. Here's the Dutch travel maniac here. He did a video, obviously, traveling around in Rome, and here is with the Dominic Trajinski. Obviously, as you can see, this is a good amount of views on it, almost 600,000 views 3 days ago. They're all hanging out in Rome together. He met Eva there as well, obviously. So that's how they did that Instagram video for Lorenzo's channel or whatever. But of course, in terms of Dominic there, I want to play another clip that we played. I think it's a couple of years old now, but I haven't seen a retraction. I haven't seen anything so far that indicates that Dominic Trajinski have changed his opinion on this basic reveal that this video shows.
So you are from Iraq, moving to Poland to study.
Yep.
Are you legally in Poland?
I'm legally in Poland.
Okay.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Appreciate it. I'm with my girlfriend.
And I where is she?
She's there.
Come over.
Is she Polish?
Yeah.
Yes.
Dzień dobry.
Hello.
My name is Amir. Cześć.
You're super. You just get married. You're very welcome.
There we go.
Yeah. Just I don't like know. Joey. It's just, what is...
Unacceptable. That's just, no.
Why? Even if there is a guy like that, and you genuinely, and that genuinely happens, it's like, okay, clearly that's not the first kind of guy you need to target, because there's other, you know, problems. But it's this signaling that somehow this is amazing that this is at least he's legal, you know, kind of thing. So it's this.
So welcome. Here's our
misogynation.
Pretty blonde girl. Here you go.
I just don't get it. So then I'm like, okay, what is happening here? If these are the people that are kind of around in this sphere, now this is a point of now this becomes a. Now this is a part of the problem that we also have to address, right? It presents like they are on our page. And that they share the concern of the ethno survival, right? The ethnic survival of our people. And then it turns out maybe they don't actually. Maybe they don't care about those things. Maybe they care about the language and the culture and the food and the kind of the attributes around our race. But they don't care about the core issues of our race, right? It's odd to me, and I don't like it. And it needs to be called out, right? These could very well be people. They are there to basically, just like Tommy Robinson said, pick up the talking points of those concerns that people have and not provide them with the full-on solutions that needs to be had. And again, I'm not saying that this is what the Remigration Summit guys really are doing, but I'm saying now there are some people that are adjacent to those type of activities that are weaved into what the Remigration Summit guys are doing.
Yeah, these things should be questioned. Let's just a little reminder. Yes, here's Eva with Dennis Prager, Israel First. Dennis Prager. Yeah, he used to follow me until I started talking about shoes back in the day. That's right. And how many of those cute Goyim girls has he broken over there on Rabbi Media? So just a little backtracking here on Eva's short political career in FVD. Do you guys remember that? There's a lot of people that don't like her in the Netherlands after that because. It ended after she stabbed the party in the back during an important election. She denounced the party's racism and anti-Semitism after some messages were leaked from the party's youth division. But then she becomes an independent far-right commentator, activist, and now she's focused on remigration, anti-immigration, etc. But of course, she doesn't talk about Jewish influence ever. And I haven't heard her address any of this FVD and what happened and all that. I mean, I don't think ever once in my lifetime have I ever complained or narked or had a problem with anyone who's a racist or anti-Semitic. Never once.
You'd be the problem.
Let alone would I be that kind of person that would narc or sell out or talk to the press or stab a party in the back who is like the party who was gonna win until this happened. You know, it's just a sign of one's character. And you know, who was the guy she dated again? Baudet.
Thierry Baudet. And he was at the Remigration Summit, by the way.
Oh, he was. Oh, well,
sitting
that's a interesting.
A couple of stools over. So I'm not sure if there was any. Has this been smoothed over? Because, of course, he was. I think he made comments about her being a backstabber.
A backstabber and a social climber. Yeah, that she just wanted a career in politics or whatever. But I know people change, okay? I know this.
Sure.
Again, all these things could be smoothed over if they were just addressed publicly. Because there's a lot of people that have doubts and questions because of incidents like this. So it's important to air these things out and to discuss them and to be honest. Because in this day and age, people have a reason to question people's sincerity.
Yeah, good point, Lana. And again, this is not actually to bring someone down or to tear them down or that it's based on some type of, you know, kind of uppity one-upmanship or something, or like, they have a million followers on Instagram,
no,
and therefore I'm jealous.
This is great.
Like,
we want people, you know, We want people to talk about these things. We want white nationalism to be popular. We want it to catch on. We want it to be policy. And that is precisely why we're asking these questions and looking out for people that we do believe in, that we do back, that we have been promoting throughout the years, to be cautious, right? We're cautious of, you know, we've seen this happen so many times, movements, good people rising, and then the you know, there's the other side that gets their claws in them or convinces them or throws money at them, or, you know, so we're protective of this because this is our last shot to protect our European civilization and save the future for our children.
So what's the point of this criticism? It's to basically make sure that no stone is left unturned in terms of how this was done to us, how we ended up here. And as I said before, this is a weed that has many, you know, roots attached to it. It's the same root, but has many, many arms, you know, tentacles, if you will, of that root. And the point is that they all need to be ripped out if we're going to do this right. Otherwise, it will be done to us again. We don't have the luxury of time here either, right? Where this is a make it or break it point. We're either going extinct or we make this fight here within one generation. So if we don't do this thoroughly and properly, it's up to us to help to push these people, right? To help to be there. This is literally our wheelhouse, right? To make sure that this is done in the right way, that we inspire and spur on people to take this fight, to offer the solutions that are real, and obviously get engaged in the fight, urge people to do it. We do it ourselves, obviously. But this has to be... This can be addressed professionally. It can be addressed thoroughly. This is not some expectation that people have to join in some kind of spurgery on just one issue over and over. This, it's the very extinction of our people that's at stake here. And of course, how many times in the past have we learned this lesson that you have some controlled opposition showing up and doing this? And again, I'm not accusing the Remigration Summit guys of this. I'm just saying some of the people that are around this now, I don't appreciate it. I don't like their attitudes. I don't like the way that they're trying to sell us, that basically we want people to integrate who are migrants legally here. I wholeheartedly disagree. We need a deportation of everyone who's not European from European lands. That needs to be the hardlined position. Can you achieve that politically right now? No, of course you can't. So I understand that this is a piecemeal operation. It's a stepping stone, right? You have to do one thing at a time. And I understand, even as I said before, the issue if this was like, well, we're basically trying to reach out to voices that have more influence, they have more reach and things like this, right? I understand that attitude. I understand that approach. I respect it as well. The issue of trying to mainstream something, though, is very delicate and fine, right? Because at some point, you can also end up diluting your movement to such an extent that what is it then? If it just, you know, withers out into being some type of MAGA adjacent thing, then what is it? And even politically right now, that seems to be in decline. A lot of people are critical of what MAGA has done because of many of the failures that they have done. So in fact, now you might be hitching your wagon to a losing thing. And I understand this is, you know, it's a gamble like everything, right? But you run the risk of watering down the message also too much. People are ready for a hardlined message that's cutting through the bullshit and telling people the truth. And again, legally, and do it in a professional way. I'm not saying, you know, but if you're seeking to be a tip of the spear, right, to being a trailblazer, slashing through all of this, you can't have a dull tip. You will not be able to do it. It's just part of the noise as opposed to something that stands out. There's a lot of activists, a lot of people with good energy. They might be willing to put time and finances, resources. They might dedicate part of their time to push and, you know, work towards these goals together with you, right? To bolster the remigration effort, only to potentially then be let down at the end of it, right? This runs the risk of just turning into another vapid influencer campaign if something is not changed here and if something is not done right. So again, I have a lot of respect for people who, on one hand, are trying to kind of mainstream their message in order to get, you know, influence and recognition, and then at the same time running the risk of becoming basically irrelevant or watering it down so much that it loses its edge, right? You have the other flip side to this where you basically can become an irrelevant spurg, where you scream angrily into the void to no one, essentially. Then yet at the same time, you run the risk of diluting or watering down your message to such a degree that no one cares about this. And the very edgy people that you need, they're the most energetically driven people not the lukewarm people, but the energetically driven people are the ones now that lose faith in you. And now you actually lose momentum and you get more criticism than you get praise. You know, where the edge of your spear has become so dull that it pierces nothing. So this is a fine balance. So this, take this as a form of constructive criticism and think about your next move, because this is important to everyone. This is not about some Instagram account. This is not about some social media influencer. This is not about how much one person gets recognition or something like that. This is about the extinction of our race, and that's why this concerns everyone. Think clearly and focus now, and think about what you're doing, because this concerns all of us.
I happen to see a post from Hugh Anthony, and he said he spent a weekend of speaking to people from all over Europe about remigration, but there was one thing that was not addressed.
I'm back in the UK after flying for about 3 hours today, back from Porto to Manchester, and I just wanted to quickly give some remarks on some of the things that I heard. Obviously, I spoke to multiple different people from all over Europe, and there's a very clear consensus that people of Europe, no matter where they are, want remigration and the preservation of the native populations. However, there is one thing that was not mentioned whatsoever. They spoke about deporting millions of people. They spoke about the preservation of our people, even spoke about the creation of lobbyist groups. But the one thing that we cannot do is just play into the system. You have to rebuild the entire system. You have to make it from the ground up so that we can implement our structure, our policy, our forward initiative to preserve Europe. It's great saying we'll create lobbyist groups for remigration, but you're forgetting that they will be absolutely squashed by the Jewish lobbyist groups that will spend millions to bankrupt you, push you aside, and financially destroy you. There is no way on earth we can solve this problem until all Jewish lobbyist groups are removed from European powers. And if we're not going to speak about that, we are not going to be serious about remigration. We need to have that conversation, and that's not something that was mentioned. So I'll mention it. Get rid of these horrible lobbyist groups that work against the European interest.
100% correct. Big you one. Have to address this issue. It's just a matter of fact, right? And even if you think for a while, well, we'll kind of sidetrack that issue now, and then later we're going to hoodwink that in or whatever. Sure, it's a bold move. You might be able to do it. But what I'm saying is, it doesn't... now you do not have the people that share those concerns on your side, and they will begin questioning you, and they will now not work with you, and then all you have left is a Joey Manarino or some MAGA Israel First guy or something. You know what I mean? So you got to think about what you're doing here. I think
just conservatism 3.0 or whatever, you know.
And again, it's not, I repeat that, right? Some people think I'm too lenient, too nice, even to some those people that are like, this is all a front, they're a distraction, it's a gay op, they're all paid shills or whatever. Again, I'm very impressed and thankful for what they're doing. There's a professional thing. It's done very well. It's
Martin's a hard
well.
Worker and he's done great
absolutely
work.
So this is not, you know, this is not to shit on them. This is just to say, try to bridge these worlds here, because I think you have an opportunity to do it right. And if you don't do it right, well, then we have to step in and say, like, hey, look, there's something amiss. And of course, correctly so, then okay, well, then it's up to people like us to do these things, right? And so there we go. But do we have the luxury of the time? Maybe we don't. I don't know. It's just, it's noteworthy that for some reason, these people can be around a Dominic Trzezinski. They can be in a sphere around people that still are have their Instagram accounts, and they still have their kind of mainstream publicity. They you know, a Tommy Robinson, sure, he might be kind of targeted by the media or whatever in the UK, right? But look, he still gets approved to, you know, shut down London and the whole central area for, yeah, you know, like a whole day. Like, this is, if he was a true, you know, a true enemy, would he be allowed to?
Yeah.
Would Mark Collett be allowed to? This is, I guess we can mention that. A couple of other people we would like to have see. Like
yes,
a good outreach effort then. Like, to, again, constructive criticism. I think it was wonderful to see Jared there. He's a great guy who I personally, at least, some people don't agree with that, but I think he bridges those worlds. He's talked about the issues before that we all, you know, that many of these other people avoid. He doesn't do his, it's not his main gig, obviously, right? But he has mentioned he hasn't shied away from it per se. He's just chosen to all right, I'm not going to talk about the JQ now. I'm going to talk about like race and IQ. You know, kind of thing. But anyway, yeah. Steve Loss, right from the UK.
Yes, I thought about that.
Steve Loss wasn't there. I mean, I don't think he was banned. Mark Koller would have been great, but yes. Unfortunately, he was. He was banned from Sweden, from entering Sweden, which I do think put a automatic Schengen zone ban on him. But, however, two other guys that also would have been good, Don Eriksson, Magnus Söderman from the Free Sweden, that would have been great too. Great activists. They do a lot of good things in Sweden. They're the ones who actually managed to get him off of the main list as being denied entry into Sweden.
Oh, wow.
There's three steps they have to take, and they won the first one. And so they basically, through the police authority or something, they like said, you need to prove that he's actually a threat to the country. And they say, we have found no credible evidence that he would like be an upset to the natural order, you know, natural order, the order of Sweden and poses a security threat. So there's two more things there. So he might be, Mark Koller might be, for now, limited in his ability, right?
Well, he could have.
But there's other.
He could have come on virtually. Online.
Sure, that is true. Yeah. Just like, some other people did.
I thought you would have been great. of course, I'm biased, but you've been at it for a long time.
Jada France, and I think you brought up.
She's come full circle, you know? Yeah. She's our girl.
But if you wanted someone from the U.S., and I get that it's the proximity to MAGA people, which probably brought Bovino, so I understand that. That's probably why the Young Republican New York guy was there and... Joey Manarino was there. I don't know. That's just my hunch. So maybe they unfortunately kind of came with the package or something. I don't know. Maybe that's not the case, but we don't know. But if they were going to have someone from the U.S., how about Thomas Rousseau from Patriot Front?
Yeah.
Excellent activism, good optics. I think that's, you know, that
would have been great.
It's somewhat adjacent to what the identitarians have been doing in Europe, right? What Selner has been involved in. It's very similar of sorts, right? It's maybe a little bit more militaristic, maybe a Patriot Front, right, to a certain extent. But at the same time, it's clean. There's no naughty symbols, as far as I know.
And he's very young. He's a young guy.
Right? That should be fine. Thomas Rousseau. Or even, how about an Arvall then, from Return to the Land or something?
Wasn't he making a splash this year, if it's about, you know, publicity and all of that?
Right.
I mean, it's got to be beyond publicity, though, too. There needs to be the heart and the passion and the authenticity and the people who are really our guys.
Yeah.
You know, not this grifter sphere of who's got the most hits and, you know, who's got access to these people and these people. Look, Trump's not doing shit. So what does MAGA matter?
He's not doing anything.
He mentions remigration. Yay. We need more than just a mention. We need people that are actually doing something. Otherwise, it's just like talking about deportations.
Well, again, the best guy there, Greg Bovino, was literally he was taken off. He was demoted. He was like, no, you need to leave because it's not good optics or something.
Well, that guy's more hard hitting than the Joey.
Greg, I've great respect
for
him.
He follows you and me.
Yeah, he seems fine. He seems sincere. No problem with Greg. Anyway, so what I'm seeing so far is a lot of critique about Joey Manarino and some of those other people from the posts that I've seen, at least.
Maybe the game here, Martin and co, are trying to appeal to an aristocratic Europe. They're trying to perhaps get inroads and resources for the movement and just hoping that they can win some of them over to the cause. That could be part of the reason why they're reaching out to the certain people that they are. But therefore, he makes some concessions in the process, and that's why a guy like Steve Laws perhaps won't be invited, because he's the voice of the working class man. But the elites, as we know, they love cheap labor and they love their virtue signaling. But the working class is living the consequences of what elites have done. And we've seen many populist right-wing parties. They're winning because the old workers' parties are betraying the people, right? They've betrayed the workers. They betrayed the white working class. So I think that this battle is winnable if it appeals to all classes, so that we have white unity beyond money and status. And I get that appearances are important, and I get that quality of people is also vital, but this isn't about our elites versus their elites. It's about white survival.
Another thing I'd like to cover here too is something that was actually announced during the Remigration Summit, which I again think is a great idea. It's a great initiative, and I'm actually fully behind it, and I think this is wonderful. But I do have some questions about it, and it's called the Save Europe Act. It's time for action. Through the Save Europe Act, the first patriotic European citizens initiative, we call for a halt to immigration and the establishment of a European remigration system. With 1 million signatures, the European Commission will be required to address these proposals and engage in discussion about Europe's future. Sign now, save-europe-act. And here's the website right there. Now, there was a promo video as well that Eva linked up, because, again, she's kind of like the face of many of these things. And I thought we could take a look at that first, and then we'll talk about the Save Europe Act.
Europeans, it's 2 minutes to midnight. Right now, as you're watching this video, thousands of immigrants are pouring into our borders.
We are that close to becoming irreversibly and permanently a minority in our own nations.
And I don't have to tell you what that's like. You know it. I know it. We all know it.
We have been talking about it for ages, but now it is the time to take action.
So today, we are presenting the first ever Patriotic European Citizens Initiative, the Safe Europe Act.
It's an official tool by the European Union, never been used by patriots before. It's a tool for every citizen to get involved into policy making and put their interests in the agenda of the European Commission. And today, we're going to do exactly that.
With the Save Europe Act, we are demanding of the European Commission to take a stance on what matters most, acknowledging the ethno-cultural continuity of the peoples of Europe as crucial for its perseverance. We are demanding of the European Commission to install a total and full halt on non-Western immigration, both legal and illegal. From now on, no one comes in and millions go out.
We are demanding from the European Union to end all pull factors benefits and create a harmonized system for voluntary return to remigrate every single migrant who is a threat or a burden to our society.
But to do that, we need your help.
If we reach the 1 million signatures, we are forcing the European Commission not only to meet with us, but to talk about remigration in the European Parliament. Now, we're not naive. We know that the European Union doesn't care about the future of the peoples of Europe. But we are not asking for permission. We just act and create a political crisis for the European elites.
We will let the right-wing parties do the fighting from the inside. And what we are trying to do is unite and move the force of millions of European patriots towards the institutions and put pressure on them from the outside. By hitting the 1 million signature threshold, we will legitimize our movement and we will force them to take a stance. They want you silenced. We want you to be heard.
The first step in our plan is the kick-off phase. We're looking for 100,000 early signers, ambassadors, and an avant-garde for the whole campaign to get the other 900,000 patriots to sign and to legitimize our demand for remigration.
Don't sit back and watch Europe get destroyed. Demand your country back, for yourself, and more importantly, for your children. Join the most important political campaign of 2026. Sign the Save Europe Act and join our movement.
So some people were concerned over the fact that they were collecting names, emails, and signatures through their own website initially. Now, of course, Martin explains that they're seeking to get about 100,000 first, that then hopefully can go on and, I guess, volunteer or spread the message to others or something like that, which is, you know, totally fine. But the dumb thing about the European Commission, which Martin correctly addresses there, right? They don't care about you. They don't, like, sure, here's some citizens initiative thing. The thing is, when you go through of, like, how it works or whatever, right? You basically need to be approved by them, getting your initiative registered, and basically, like, you have to create an organizer account. Now, of course, many of these criteria, I think, are actually easily met, obviously, in terms of you need at least 7 EU citizens living in 7 different EU countries. Not a problem, obviously, for these guys, right? You can register it, but you can't, you know, collect this on your own website and then hand it over to them. You need to run it through their infrastructure, they have everything, you know, there for you, whatever. But if you look at some of these things that have been like approved before, right, submit your initiative, get an answer. Once you submit an initiative, the examination of your initiative starts. So is this one? Yeah, I don't have any problems with this, obviously, right? I saw some people raising concerns about this. They're like, oh, you got to do it through the website, and therefore this is all bullshit, and they're collecting your emails just to put you on some list or something like that. I don't think that's what's going on here at all, to be honest. You know, many people said, like, well, why not shoot for the initiative right away and try to get the 1 million? I don't know. That's kind of up in the air or whatever. But the problem with this, though, is that the European Commission will probably just not even approve your very initiative, right?
Yeah, they'll shoot it down.
Doesn't mean you shouldn't try, obviously.
Yeah, right? Should try everything.
Europe is the values of the Talmud.
So here's a couple that have been approved in the past, right? Stop cruelty, stop slaughter. Not halal and kosher, I would assume, but anyway. Reconnecting nature through the creation of a European biodiversity biodiversity corridors. It's like, okay, fine.
Well, then send people back.
Rights for nature, empowering citizens to represent and protect ecosystems. Okay, ban on conversion practices in the European Union. EU stars on my passport. What is that? Psychedelic care. There we go.
All right. It is.
Psychedelicare.eu.
So nothing like very
House
political.
House power, fast, convenient, affordable.
Definitely no Nazism going on
transport
here.
Transport for all Europeans. Air quotas. Anyway, these are some just the latest ones, obviously. But overall, no, I think that's a positive thing. I'm not super concerned with it in terms of collecting signatures or anything like that. I think I probably would have gone for just try to get the thing registered right away and get the people that are already driven to share it and try to get to 1 million. But I don't know. We'll see. Well, I wish them luck. This is not a point of critique I have. It's very focused around Eva though. And it's like very, for my taste, it's too much of a social media, influencer feel to it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I trust her. I don't trust her motives. I don't trust how the world she came from. If she has changed her mind and is fully on page, to preserve the European race, I'm fine with that. She at least now though used like, acknowledging the ethno-cultural continuity of Europe's peoples. She didn't say things like that in the past. And, of course, me and many others have continuously poked at her for this.
Yes,
and so now,
yes.
So hopefully those... Do you see what I'm saying? How this works?
Mm-hmm.
This is to make them get a fire under their asses and get their fucking act together and get mm-hmm. harder and do it in the, you know, in the right way. And know that there's a lot of people that I think are ready for... to hear the truth about these issues and to have someone just call it out for what it is, right?
And that's the one benefit, as I've been saying for years, of women being on the front lines speaking these things is, you know, if they could be soft and lovely and say these hard things, it's much easier to deliver to the public. That is the one benefit. Let's address the people that say remigration is never going to happen. You guys are dreaming. This is a pipe dream. How is this going to happen with, you know, all the, you know, people working against us in politics and all of that? Henrik, I'm going to get your take on that, too. But the big thing is this is not a fringe idea anymore. The things that we've been talking about are not fringe ideas anymore. And we have to keep that in mind, that this is a battle worth engaging in. We've been engaged in this battle hard for, you know, at least 10 years and most of you with us. And look at the gains that we have made. We always have to keep that in mind. And I think that as things become worse and it becomes more obvious to people what's happening when it comes to Europe and demographic replacements and all that comes with it, more people will join and come to our side. That is why it's important for us to be hardlined and continue to push and be there and do the work and fight in the trenches. It's a fight worth engaging in. And I think that time will prove that we are right, as it always does. And I have a hunch, as I know Henrik does too, that in those final moments when we are hanging, you know, by a thread, we will pull through this, but that's why it's important to do that work and push through now and do it right and, you know, hold each other to the line, right? Hold each other to that high standard and motivate each other to keep going and to do it right.
Well, it doesn't matter if it is not going to succeed. You do the fight anyway. It's not about sitting. I mean, you must believe that you're going to win. Of course, we're going to win, obviously. There's no doubt about that. But I'm saying even if you know that your chances are futile, you still fight because it's the right thing to do. And in fact, going back to an issue like the Save Europe Act, the most low effort thing you can do is to sign a website, you know what I mean? And if you're concerned with any of that, that you're like on a, you know, you're already on a list. They already know everything about you anyway. They know about your opinions and shit like that. So that's not a big concern. That's not a valid criticism against any of this, to be honest. No, I want to make sure that the people that are driving these things are fully committed and dedicated to do what is necessary and to drive it the entire way, right? Kind of thing. Now, if you need to tone down your message a little bit to make it more appealing, because at the end of the day, if this is politics, which is kind of what this, it's really, it is politics at the end of the day, right? Trying to gain influence, gain people in the political world to be on your side. And it's already a very marginalized, you know, kind of clique, if you prefer, right? Although AFD, for example, is gaining credibility. Many people don't think they're hardline enough, but of course they have to soften their message to a certain extent. There's a price in that too, as we've kind of explained, but you have to soften your message to appeal to more people. And politics is kind of cuckery, right? It's bending to the will, compromising, and kind of, okay, we'll do this for you, I'll do this for you. You know, and then later you can stab him in the back, because that's kind of what politics is as well, I guess, to a certain extent. So as long as you gain, you know, political power, it doesn't matter, right? In a way, it's hard. It matters. This is why only certain people can be politicians, be in that world, right? Because it takes a specific type of kind of scummy individual, to be honest, right? But let's say that we have someone who's genuinely Machiavellian, ruthless in his or her ability to appeal to people and kind of outmaneuver others or whatever. All that's fine. It's the end result of power, political power, that matters. White people, European people, must have power. We must have political power, other forms of power too, but we need that power in order to secure our nations and the existence of our children and our future, right? So how that happens, I'm less picky with. I just want to be sure that we can help and do our part in driving these people to be as hardlined as they need to be to get the objective done and to fully understand and wrap their head around the totality of the problems that we face. And kind of that's where we stand. Think less about the black pillars. It doesn't really matter. They'll be there and whine. And Martin Sellner is correct in that. I've seen some posts on him. Like, let's just leave these people behind who are just like kind of, I'm paraphrasing here, but I saw a post from him a while back. He was like kind of, he didn't say irrelevant, but like they're just kind of wound up in smaller issues, and it's just about this one, you know, one string banjo type of thing, right? So that's great. That's why we have, that's why there is people like Martin Sellner there to try to kind of bridge these world and bring these people together, whatever. So in conclusion here, I want to say these are great initiatives. I'm worried about some of the people that I see involved, and I think they would do much better in trying to bring in people that have more of an edge, less association to the declining popularity of the MAGA movement in the USA, and you can still focus on bridging, you know, Europe and America, right? Again, Bovino, I think, is great, you know, but he's also, he held, you know, actual political office or office, you know, influence, power, right? He was in a position of being the main Border Patrol guy, right? So he is a different caliber than, let's say, a Joey Manarino or some of those other guys kind of around that sphere. We need to push these people as hard as we can so that they will take their job seriously. And if they don't, and if they're there, if they for some reason are there for ulterior motives, then it's our job to expose them and to drive them out of those positions so that they won't be there to try to placate us or try to stand in the way or cock block us from actual solutions while claiming that they're actually representing those things only to let us down later when it really matters. This is important. And with that, we're going to wrap up the show here for today. Thank you so much for watching, Western Warrior ladies and gentlemen. Normally just for RedIceMembers.com members and subscribers, obviously locals and subscribers are as well. But today it's up there for free because, as we said in the beginning of the show, of course, we do have a temporary, I wish we had a dedicated server person that we could just call on at any minute, but I'm calling my guy in a couple of hours here. We're going to try to get it sorted out, but we appreciate your patience, members, for the temporary glitch as we got some of the hardware replaced on one of the dedicated servers we have to run our websites. We'll get that back up and running as soon as possible. Please keep your membership because it does help us. And of course, if you're watching this for free, do consider giving us a dono. Donorbox.org/redicetips. That's a place you can give a dono to us if you appreciate what we do. We can only do this with your help, so we appreciate you guys. Thank you so much, everybody. But as always, before we close out the show here today, I want to say thanks to our executive producers. Thank you, guys. We appreciate you. Very white of you. Arctic Wolf, the king himself, King Albert, thank you. We got William Fox from America First Books. Angry White Soccer Mom, thank you for your support as well. We also have Purple Haze as one of our executive producers. Thank you so much. Glenn, we appreciate your support as well. Many thanks. We have President Obunga, also one of our executive producers. Thank you. Together with Good Luck Lap. Thank you. We appreciate you. We also have Number One Jeebs. Sincere thanks for your support as well. We got Hungarian Mom. Thank you. We appreciate you and the fam. We got Sun Destroyer 520. Thank you so much for your support. Together with the Deplorable Extraordinaire, we appreciate you as well. Thank you. We got Santoso, also one of our executive producers. Many thanks. Together with the Boo Man. Thank you, Boo Man. We appreciate you as always. Many thanks. Also, Charles Turner Jr., thank you for your support, sir. Appreciate it. We got DJ Snow Snow. Thank you for being an executive producer. And last but not least, we got Bertrand Comperre. Thank you for being there for us so we can be there for you guys. We also have our producers. Yuan Son, Lero Dumont, Eyes Open, Single Action Army, Lord H.P. Lovecraft, Trevor, Der Schwabe, Alcyon, Aurelian, Perfect Brute. We have Greg M., J. Barr, Chris W., Skarzinski, Muskrat, Centurion, Scott James Henderson, Deer in the Headlights, Hadrian, and Ernst Jaeger. Thank you so much, guys. We appreciate you. We can't do this without you. If you want your name in the credits here at the end of the show of our Red Ice Productions, you can get a executive producer tier or producer tier, get a special shout out and thanks from us here at Red Ice, and of course help us grow and expand at the same time. RedIceMembers.com or Subscribestar.com/RedIce. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We'll be back here with more in just a few days. Until then, take care. We'll see you on the next one.
See ya.
Folk first.